The epistle for the Sunday within the octave of Corpus Christi is taken from St. John's first epistle, chapter 3. Dearly beloved, wonder not if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in himself. In this we have known the charity of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He that hath the substance of this world, and shall see his brother in need, and shall shut up his heart from him, how doth the charity of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 14. At that time, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees this parable. A certain man made a great supper and invited many, and he sent his servant at the hour of supper to say to them that were invited that they should come, for now all things are ready. And they began all at once to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a farm, and I must needs go out and see it. I pray thee, hold me excuse. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to try them. I pray thee, hold me excuse. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And the servant returning told these things to his lord. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the feeble and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. But I say unto you that none of these men that were invited shall taste of my supper. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And he sent his servant to say to them that were invited that they should come, for now all things are ready. Words taken from today's gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to tell you about a young man I met on a flight from Chicago to Albany some time ago. I had boarded the plane and proceeded to pray the remainder of my divine office. This young man boarded some time after me and took the aisle seat. No sooner had I finished my breviary, about 20 minutes or so after takeoff, the young man immediately said to me, as he had been watching me, but he said to me in so many words that he was glad to see me reading the Bible. I told him that this was a breviary and not a Bible, and that I was a Catholic priest. Though much of the breviary, I explained to him, was from the Bible, in particular the Book of Psalms. He then began to tell me that he was a Lutheran, but he had been a fallen away Lutheran. And only recently did he begin attending church services on Sunday with his wife and children. For the remainder of the flight, until we pulled up to the gate at Albany, we were engaged in a very deep and even lively discussion about Catholicism and Lutheranism. He would say something and I would respond. I would say something and he would respond. We spoke about the church, and I told him that Christ founded one church, and that church is the Catholic Church. And I went through the history of how Luther broke away from this church the Catholic Church and started his own church. We spoke about the Bible. We spoke about Luther's false doctrine of salvation by faith alone, which this young man was surprised to learn as I explained it to him that Luther had made the whole thing up. And how shocked he was to learn as well that Luther blasphemously asserted that our Lord Jesus Christ was guilty of mortal sin. We spoke of these things and many more in that 1.5 hour conversation. When we deplaned, he then asked me if I would be willing to meet with him over coffee and talk more about religion. And I said, yes, I would. I gave him the seminary phone number, but sad to say, he never called. I still pray for him and hope that one day perhaps he will make that call. But among the other things, my dear friends, we talked about was the Holy Eucharist. He said something in this regard that struck me. And what he said was this. Since he had returned to church, the reception of the Eucharist, as he explained at the Sunday service, was the highlight of his week. For in receiving the Eucharist, he said, he found encouragement to get him through his week, to get him through his work. And then he said to me how much he looked forward throughout his week to Sundays so that he could receive again. He didn't say he looked forward to Sundays for a day off from work. He said he looked forward to Sunday so he could receive again. His desire, his longing, and even a certain reverence he had struck me. But my dear friends, how sad for him. He does not have the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. He does not receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in Holy Communion. He receives mere bread and maybe even wine. Nor does he attend the holy sacrifice of the Mass, at which, according to the infallible teaching of the Council of Trent, Christ's sacrifice on the cross is made present in a real but unbloody manner, its memory celebrated and its saving power applied. That Lutheran man does not attend the Mass. He attends a mere supper service each Sunday at his church, at which his fiducial faith is stirred. But although he is in a false church, and although he does not have the one true faith, nor the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, still he had what seemed to me a sincere desire to receive what he thought was the Eucharistic Christ. The parable of the Great Supper in today's Gospel is a figure for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The man who prepares the supper stands for our Lord Jesus Christ, inviting all men to partake of his body and blood in Holy Communion. In the Gospel of St. John, our Lord said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst." The invitation is open to all, but in particular to all and only those who are baptized in the Catholic faith, who are in the state of grace, and who are properly disposed. Our Lord, in his infinite love for us, provided the means by which his Eucharistic banquet would be accessible until the very end of time. And that means, of course, is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is offered only by validly ordained priests. Thus, in the Mass, Christ gives himself to us to be the food of our souls by means of Holy Communion. With an infinite love and longing, he desires to be received by us. He loves us so much that he longs to be united to our souls by means of this great sacrament of love. And yet, despite his love and his longing for us, people, for the most part, do not long to receive him. Some even ignore him and turn their backs on him. And in doing this, they inflict an infinite violence upon him and thus on his Sacred Heart. St. Louis de Montfort once said that the bond of affection between the Son of God and man is so close that infinite violence is done to him when man either refuses to give him his heart or wrests it from him. This rejection of the love of the Sacred Heart by men is also seen in today's parable, which tells how our Lord's invitation to the sacrament of his body and blood is received by men. One man rejects his love, saying, "I have bought a farm and I must needs go out and see it." Another says, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to try them." And both of these said, "Pray thee, hold me excused." These excuses are the excuses of those Catholics who are preoccupied with the world and have inordinate attachments to worldly things and even sinful things. And hence they have no time for Christ in their lives, and they really make no place for him in their hearts. They are so absorbed with themselves and in the affairs of the world that they refuse the invitation of Christ to attend the Mass and receive him in Holy Communion. They receive our Lord very seldom, perhaps only to fulfill their Easter duty, if even that. But in the Gospel, there is a third excuse. It is, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." In this excuse, something good, one's family, comes between the soul and the Sacred Heart. And because one's family is so good a thing, the excuse maker goes his way without even asking to be excused. Then, of course, there are the infidels and non-Catholics who do not know him or who have rejected him, his church, and the true Catholic faith. When the Jews in the Old Testament, my dear friends, were good, when they were really good, they were only good when they put God first. When they put God ahead of everything. When they made God first in their personal lives, and everything else came second. That is what we must do. We must put Christ and his Sacred Heart first in our daily lives. It is a sad thing indeed that down through the centuries, when all is said and done, so few among Catholic people have had hearts that are truly longing with a loving desire to love the Sacred Heart and to receive him in Holy Communion. Did not the Sacred Heart of Jesus appear to St. Margaret Mary and utter his holy complaint about the coldness and indifference of Catholics to him and the rejection that he received from the greater part of men? Did he not complain to her about the indifference of Catholic people towards his passion and death and how much he suffered for them? Did he not complain to her about the indifference and coldness of Catholics to his Eucharistic presence in the tabernacle? His heart was and is very much on fire with love for us. As St. Margaret Mary testified, she saw his heart as it were a burning furnace of love. Those were the words in which she used to describe his heart, which he revealed to her. But my dear friends, all too often, our hearts are cold and indifferent to him, and most especially to his real presence in the Holy Eucharist. How many among Catholic people today have a longing and a loving desire to receive the Eucharistic Heart of Christ in Holy Communion? How many during the week eagerly look forward with joyful anticipation to attending Sunday Mass or a weekday Mass and receiving Christ in Holy Communion? And thus, how many strive to prepare their hearts for what should be the highlight of their week, for their day, Mass and Holy Communion. One author described the reception of Holy Communion as if it were our own personal audience with Christ. To understand that, my dear friends, consider this scenario. What if we had been privileged to have an audience with Pope St. Pius X? What if we had an opportunity to meet him, to kneel before him and receive his blessing, to speak to him, and to hear what he would say to us? That would be something we would all look forward to with a most joyful anticipation, to be in the presence of such a pope and such a man who had such fire for Christ and his church. It would be something we would have, as I say, such joyful anticipation and such a memory of after. When we receive Holy Communion, we receive one who is infinitely greater than Pope St. Pius X. We receive our Lord Jesus Christ, and we hold him, as it were, in our hearts. And he is there. That is why St. Alphonsus de Liguori says the most precious time is the time after Holy Communion. For it is a time when we are with Christ in a most extraordinary, most sublime, but most unassuming manner. But a time, he says, that we can speak to Christ as to our own dear friend. Time after Holy Communion, then, is a time in which we can tell our Lord how much we love him, a time in which we can consider all he has done for us, how he was born at Bethlehem for us, how he suffered so much for us on the cross, how in his infinite love for us, he should make himself present in the Holy Eucharist. And we can thank him for all this. We can thank him for his kindness, his mercy and forgiveness, for there is no one here who has not received the mercy of Christ. We can thank him thus for these things, even as we can petition him, and how St. Alphonsus de Liguori says he wants to be asked. He wants us to ask favors from him. And we can ask him for more favors, for more blessings, for graces, for conversions of family members and friends. At no other time, St. Alphonsus says, is our Lord more willing to grant such graces than during the time after a fervent Holy Communion. How, my dear people, then, we should long to receive him and prepare for Holy Communion. How we should pray during the Mass for the grace to make a good communion, and even during our week, make what we call a remote preparation, calling to mind his Eucharistic presence, being faithful to daily prayers, offering him the crosses and sufferings of our day, and being so careful to avoid the occasions of mortal sin. Is it possible that that Lutheran man had a greater longing and desire to receive what he thought was the Holy Eucharist, but was nothing more than bread, than Catholics do, truly receive the Eucharistic Christ in Holy Communion? My dear friends, if we have been cold, if we have been indifferent to him, may we now be ever mindful of him who we truly receive in Holy Communion. May we never forget just how blessed we are to have him on our altar and in our chapel and in our hearts by Holy Communion. And thus may we long for him. May we desire him as he longs and desires to be with us. May the most blessed and pure Virgin Mary obtain for us the grace that we may ever love him in his Eucharistic heart and ever receive him with sincere, loving, and most grateful hearts. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.